Good morning, Montreal. You are tuned to the Wednesday Morning After on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We have a full show today with two pre-recorded interviews, one in music and one in arts and culture. The first interview is with T-Rex Marathon. Let's hear where that name comes from. The second interview is with Lance Daniel of LDH Productions. Lance made a film post-pandemic and he'd like to share that with you. Then we'll have a podcast, In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. 8 o'clock brings Democracy Now!, 8:15 brings weather, and we'll listen to some more music before we wrap up the show. Let's start the day off with some music.
Awake in the night to the sound of a city asleep. I walk to the window, see the streetlights dotting the trees. And in that moment, I want you by my side. And it comes over me like a wave, and I'm caught in the tide. But it's something I've always known. I pull out the photo we took at your cousin's birthday. You're sticking your tongue out at me while I'm kissing your face. And it suddenly scares me, 'cause I've never felt this before. But it's clear in my heart, it's a feeling that I can't ignore. 'Cause it's something I've always known. Yeah. In my heart, it flows right through my veins. A beautiful mystery that I could never explain.
Something I've always known. thought of all that I could say to you. Even after all the things you put me through, I felt it in my veins. Still I played all your games. Why was it so hard for me to see the truth? Everything I didn't say. Every time you walked away. Every time I let you get the best of me, I let you stay. How am I nothing left to say? Who'll be the one to blame? When your shadows all that's left for you, you know the name. Is this a part where I give in? Is this a part where I accept you all?
Le Festival International de Nuit d'Afrique, presented by TD Bank, invites you to their 35th anniversary this summer. Join us for this world music event, a 13-day celebration from July 6th to the 18th. This innovative edition takes place in venues, outdoors, and online, a fusion of past and present, rich in history and in new musical discoveries. Discover the surprises. For more information and tickets, go to festivalnuitdafrique.com.
Did you get vaccinated?
Not yet, but I will soon.
And which one are you getting?
I'm getting the dance vaccine.
The dance vaccine? Great idea.
Yeah, rehearsing with the girls is what I miss the most.
Well, it's going to be the soccer vaccine for me. I can't wait to see the gang again.
Each vaccination brings us closer to these moments. Follow the vaccination sequence planned for your area and book an appointment at quebec.ca/COVID vaccine. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Canada is currently under the microscope for the news of unmarked graves at residential schools in various provinces. But T-Rex Marathon's latest single, 27 Souls, is unearthing another chapter of Canada's grim past. With us today, we have Jeremy, Aaron, and Alex from T-Rex Marathon. Hi, Jeremy, Aaron, and Alex, and welcome to the show. First, thanks, please introduce yourselves and tell us how you came to be involved in T-Rex Marathon.
Well, I'm Jeremy. I am the bassist and I'm clean vocalist of T-Rex Marathon. And I actually am one of the founding members along with Alex. We started in 2012, I believe, back when we were nothing but a high school band. We started jamming in our drummer's basement, And here we are now.
I'm Alex. I play guitar in Tears Marathon. I also do some of the Unclean vocals. And like I was a part in founding the band with drummer Darian back in our high school days. And yeah, that's how I came into the band.
Well, I'm Aaron, and I am not a founding member. I joined the band, what is it now, 3 years ago, and I play guitar as well and do some of the clean vocals. I joined the band because we had started jamming on another project, myself, Alex, and Jeremy, and the band was going on tour when at the same time the guitarist was in the band had just left, and they were in need of a filler for the tour. It was just Eastern Canada. And they said, oh, well, this guy can play. Why don't you join us? And I said, sure, why not? It sounds like a fun summer. And here we are. I can't leave. They won't let me.
It's actually been 4 years since that tour.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh, it has.
Yes, I forgot about the storm.
Where did your name come from?
Alex, you can take that one away.
Yeah, so there's substantial debate between Jeremy and I, who were both there but have different recollections of how it went down. But the gist of it is that we were hanging out in at a high school coffee house with a friend in common who made some comment about the performance. We were getting very bored of what we were watching. He made some comment about it sounding like or being compared to the excruciating image of being chased down by T-Rexes or running a marathon, being chased by T-Rexes or something along those lines. And Jeremy and I looked at each other and we were like, okay, that's the band name, T-Rex Marathon. And there's really, it's really as devoid of substance as that.
Yeah, we wish there was like a greater meaning to it, but unfortunately sometimes things are simpler than they seem, and that's all it is.
Your latest single is named 27 Souls. What is the story behind this song?
Well, Adam should be here to answer that. But if you guys would like, I can take that one.
I can do it in Adam's stead.
You can do it in Adam's stead.
So it's something that is close to our singer, Adam, because he is three generations removed. His parents' parents were in internment camps in British Columbia for Japanese people of Japanese descent, whether they were Canadian citizens or not, who were interned during World War II. And so this tells a story among many of people who were, you know, citizens of our country who were interned for years, you know, against their against their will, because they were suspected of potentially being enemies of the state.
Yeah, this song in particular is a fictionalized narrative. Adam says it's about a mining accident, I believe is what he uses, and essentially where, due to whatever unsafe work conditions of this forced labor, led to the death of 27 people in these camps that should never have existed to begin with. So as Alex mentioned, it's one of those songs. It's a story that it is of something that's in our history, and it's a story of how hateful thought can eventually lead to tragedy, and it's senseless. It's just complete senseless tragedy at that.
And it's quite interesting, because to our repertoire, that's not really something we usually do. Our songs are not really based in any sort of reality. We don't really make grand statements. We usually just write about, you know, everyday situations that one of us may have not gone through. But this song hits a little bit closer to home, especially for Adam. And he feels like it's probably one of his best songs that he's written for this band, and just in general.
I would echo that.
So we're all very proud of that song, especially just the way it came out, and even with the accompanying video and everything. And we had a pretty clear vision, and we think we delivered quite well on it.
May we hear some of your music?
Absolutely.
This is 27 Souls on the Wednesday Morning After.
Let's
sun to break through the cedars. When she first laid eyes on the damage, she cannot consider what it would come to me.
In 2020, you released the album Days Without Incident. What was the process you went through when you produced this album?
You want to go at Aaron?
Sure. So Days Without Incident was our debut, of course. So the process was we were figuring out the process. But that had been, I would say what? The band had existed at that point for...
About 6 years.
Oh yeah, it's like, we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary next year. So yeah, 6 years, I would say. And we had finally decided it was high time to put out an actual album, properly produced, properly recorded, and to finally have this music sound the way it should. So we had sat down and we had first picked our producer, Mike Bond of Wolf Lake Studios, and he did a great job. We had a great time up there. The process was simple enough. The songs were already written. We didn't have a whole lot to do in the pre-production there. We didn't even do really that much in terms of demoing. We had kind of tried in our buddy's apartment and it went about as well as you'd expect. So those demos do exist. We have them. Maybe one day, if people are real nice, we'll release them to the world. We had gone to Wolf Lake, the studio, on our first day up for a 10-day adventure, only to be greeted by a bellman, a Bell truck, Bell Canada truck, stuck in the snow. And he was stuck there for a couple hours. We had managed to load everything in, but we couldn't load ourselves in. We get everything set up. Bellman leaves. Bam. Power goes out. So I think on our first day, we got maybe 3 hours recording. But in any case, the remainder of that, it was a pretty standard recording process. But after that, we had decided, you know, let's try and do the right thing. We tried really promoting. We went really hard, but we had made one fatal flaw, which was that we had released it in the middle of a pandemic. So the process was certainly not as exciting as we would have liked. We would have probably enjoyed being able to play that music for our fans. We would have enjoyed to be able to do more, of course, in-person things. But it's okay because we're going to lump that in with this Reimagined EP, and we have a lot to catch up with all of our listeners and anyone who's interested in this band. So yeah, Days Without Incident, quite reflective of the title, was full of incidents. There's just many, many incidents, and we will continue to have incidents. And I guess Days Without Incident is just wishful thinking on our end.
May we listen to some more of your music?
Absolutely.
This is And I Lost It All on CKUT.
Grief is a place I can't help but go. Twisting circles through the untouched
What are your plans for the next year musically?
So we're cooking a few things in the moment. So as we mentioned before, we're releasing an EP, but we're probably more or less going to treat this EP as a collection of singles. There's only three songs. So we're going to release them one at a time over the course of a few months, and really hopefully those will carry us over to our next big project. We don't want to talk about it too much right now, but we have a conceptual 6-ish song EP that we are trying to record at the end of the summer, early fall, COVID restrictions pending. And we feel very confident that that could very well be our magnus opus. We're very, very excited about it. It's a full story. We would like it to, it's essentially going to be one long song broken down into 6 parts. We really feel like it's going to be a good one. And other than that, we're going to try to get back into shows. Hopefully, even in the middle of the summer, end of the summer, we should have hopefully a few things lined up. Finally be able to play our full length album in its entirety live would be incredible. So yeah, a bunch of little things coming up. The 2020 was grim. Beginning of 2021 was a big grim as well. But we're hoping that the end of 2021 and 2022 is going to be quite a good year for T-Rex Marathon.
So we say every year, it's going to be our year, guys.
And then it ends up not being our year. But we're hopeful. We're hopeful. We're going with this. We're going this time with unrivaled optimism, for better or for worse.
If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music, where should they go?
I mean, Spotify is a good place to start, but Bandcamp is always a good place to check out to listen to and buy the music. But any streaming service, you'll be able to find us. Spotify, Google Play, Deezer, Amazon, you know, all the obscure ones that no one uses. We're on there too. TikTok, I believe, as well.
Pinterest.
Nice.
We're also, we have a YouTube channel where the majority of that YouTube channel is just posting our music videos. We have, at this point, we actually have a pretty decent catalog of music videos, which is nice. But we also have random miscellaneous little videos, such as a bass playthrough of where I don't play bass.
It's the best thing we've ever put out.
We do have some comedic bits as well, because as a band, we like to joke, and we especially like to joke about each other.
Yeah, we like to have fun here in T-Rex Marathon.
We have fun here.
We have fun. We have a video making of one of our singles, and we also have an unboxing of our album, which we were really, really excited about. It was the first time we had like official physical release, and we made a video unboxing it. It's on our YouTube channel. But yeah, other than that, typical streaming platforms, you can find us. And if you like us so much that you want to support us, you can go on our Bandcamp and throw us a few dollars, or you can just get it for free regardless.
And remember those Bandcamp Fridays when you can get all of the monies that you pay paid directly to the artists.
Yes. Absolutely. Bandcamp Fridays.
All right. Well, thank you for your interview today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it. This was a lot of fun.
You've been listening to Jeremy, Alex, and Aaron of T-Rex Marathon speaking about music. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Early in the morning, before the sun rose, when the first bird sang, even while everyone was still asleep.
Morning. On that morning.
When the sun.
Doodle-doo. I hear the rooster crowing.
Now you must wake up.
Now every morning when I wake up,
I woke up this morning with
the kiss of the morning.
Got up 7:30 every morning. Had the same breakfast.
Réveillez-moi à 8 heures demain matin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Bike, made a bacon and
the moonlight.
Has this ever happened to any of you, or will it happen to any of you, on the morning after the night before?
You are listening to The Morning After on CKUT 90.3 on the FM dial.
Lance Daniel is a freelance videographer. When the COVID-19 pandemic hit, contracts weren't coming in as steady. During this time, he launched a clothing line. The line is called Hashtag No Regard. With us today, we have Lance Daniel. Hi, Lance, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be involved in Hashtag No Regard.
My name is, like I said, Lance Daniel. Hashtag No Regard was a football team in a recreational league. We play in the biggest recreational league in the world. It's called Fly Plus Football. So our team name was No Regard. So it started off as just friends that would just go to play football recreationally. And then through that, we started winning a lot. We started getting a little bit of publicity. Then UFC fighters started to wear our clothing and endorse us. It kind of transitioned from it's like an underdog story. It transitioned from just a bunch of guy friends doing that to performing in front of hundreds of people at concerts. And it really took off.
You made a short film to document the origin story of your company. And now it's coming to the Scotiabank Cinema. What is the name of the film and what's it all about?
The name of the film is called No Regard, the greatest recreational sports story ever told. And the story is, it's a story of the underdog. No regard means perseverance, relentlessness, and never accepting the limitations that people put on you and just having no regard for their opinion and just striving. So the movie depicts the struggle that No Regard went through as a team, through our individual personal lives, but in the end, there's always that aspect of ambition and relentlessness of No Regard that's shown in triumph. It's definitely a story of triumph.
Please tell us the time and date of the opening show and where our listeners may get tickets.
You can type in eventbrite.com, No Regard, the greatest recreational sports story ever told. It's going to be at the Scotiabank Cinema on Thursday, July 15th at 7 p.m.
What does it mean to you that you have evolved Hashtag No Regard, the clothing line? What does Hashtag No Regard mean?
Hashtag No Regard means, like I said, never stopping and staying relentless and never accepting what other people say about you and believing it, but just persevering. So as a clothing line, I really wanted to bring that out of people, whether you're, you know, Christian, Muslim, no matter what walk of life you are, everybody has a limitation where eventually you have to just speak up and have no regard. And I think that speaks a lot of volumes in society. So it translated into a clothing line and it's been successful. And hopefully the movie premiere make it something that Montrealers can be proud to wear.
What is the process you went through making your short film about Hashtag No Regard?
The process was a lot of patience. A two-year-old son in the house with me that's always around me as I'm editing. But through that, uncover hours and hours of footage. A documentary, you're often trying to find clips and footage from anywhere, whether it be YouTube, your personal video archives. And to make the best documentary, you really have to comb through everything. So it was a process that took from November up until the day before yesterday. And it was worked at every single day, literally every single day. Bit by bit.
What is the story today? What kind of business is Hashtag No Regard? Is it on the street or exclusively online?
No Regard is trademarked in Canada, so it's legally owned by me. And through that, it's the distribution and selling of clothing. There's a Shopify. You could purchase your clothes on Shopify. You could do it through Shopify. And the website is noregardshop.com.
What kind of future do you see for a clothing company post-pandemic?
Post-pandemic, I would say that just keep doing our best and we never know what could happen. Everything is so uncertain. So my logic is have the best work ethic and be the best person that you can be through that. And if movie's a success, you never know the snowball effect. You never know when the city is just going to embrace you. You never know when the right person's watching. So I try not to think about the tomorrow, but just try to do the best I can for the particular day and then just keep moving in stride like that.
If our listeners want some more information or to buy your merch, where should they go?
To buy the merch, they can get it at noregardshop.com, noregardshop.com. I could be followed on Instagram. It's JSNoRegard20. On Facebook, my name is Lance Daniel, of course. And for tickets, please, I ask for the support of Montreal. You can get them on Eventbrite. You can go on Google, just type in Eventbrite, No Regard, the greatest recreational sports story ever told.
Thank you for your interview today.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to Lance Daniel speaking about his business, #NoRegard. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
When you tell your girlfriend, get changed, you're dressed like a tramp. Change your password so I can see your messages. When are you going to change your mind, you stubborn idiot? Change your attitude when you talk to me. Change your friends. You better change your tone of voice. It's not up to her to change. It's up to you. Violence against women stops now. Talk about it. Do something about it. And call SOS Violence Conjugale. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
You're in a crowded elevator, a job interview, or on a first date, and you're feeling a bit of pressure down below that you just can't let go. This week on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, we ask, what happens when you hold in a fart?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
Hello, lovely people, and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus.
A bite-sized, informative podcast that answers the mysteries of the world in the time it takes you to shower.
Have you ever wondered why you get dizzy?
Or if mice actually like cheese.
Or if micropigs are real.
If you've wondered those, then good news, you've come to the right place. We've answered them, and plenty more, and we're about to answer one more.
So step into the shower cubicle with us as we answer what happens when you hold in a fart.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
Every now and again on an In the Shower episode, a question comes in that stops me in my tracks, and I admire the people who send them in, because like generally we get these questions on Facebook, and you can see that these people are adults, and like they have jobs, like they might be engineers or doctors or psychiatrists or nurses or chefs, and like they're asking the questions that they've probably that I've wondered since I was 4 years old. Like, what happens when you hold in a fart? Does it go up inside you? Do you inflate like a balloon? I don't know, but it's cool.
Ironically enough, the way that question stopped you in your tracks, we're talking about farts stopping in their tracks.
Now, lovely listeners, you're lucky that Smell-O-Vision or Smellcast or Poodcast doesn't exist, because Taz and I can fart. And we can fart pretty well. And I'm betting that if you're listening to this, you're in either camp that you're going, I'm right there with you. I can also fart pretty well. Or you're kind of sitting there and going, I don't like farting. I never fart. Farting is disgusting. I heard a good joke actually today.
Everybody farts.
Everybody farts. But you know what? I heard a great joke where it's just like, children are like farts. You can just about tolerate your own.
Yes.
Literally.
So yeah, no, lovely listener, as much as my mom always said that boys fart and girls blow bubbles, I do in fact fart. And those farts, they have a personality,
oh,
Marcus.
Oh, they do. And it is not a good personality. It's the personality of a child criminal who had so much potential in the world, but instead is beating up grannies for fun. We actually did an episode on what makes farts smelly. And believe it or not, it's actually a really good thing to have smelly farts. It means that everything's kind of ticking over in order. Your insides are doing their job and you're digesting food properly.
If you're curious about this, then you should definitely listen to that episode after this one.
Oh, 30 minutes of fart content. What more could you want? If you really want to go, we have a couple of poo episodes that you go. You could just have yourself a full scatological hour if you want.
Okay, so farts.
Farts, Taz.
We have established that farts smell.
Yes, good scientific research so far.
So for that reason, you can imagine why it's important not to hold them in.
Better out than in, to quote the great, wonderful Eastern swamp-dwelling philosopher Shrek.
And he's not wrong. Are you ready to find out the ori-gory details?
I absolutely am. So tell me, what happens when you hold in a fart? An apple tart? A Rudy?
Okay, so to start at the beginning, let's talk about the Nobel fart.
Is that like the Nobel Prize?
Yeah.
Oh, Nobel one, who fart thou?
Okay, so according to Cleveland Clinic, gas is simply the product the harmless bacteria in your intestines produce as your food is being digested. And if you're considerably more gassy after eating certain things, then that's completely normal too. Some foods like beans, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, broccoli and whole grains cause more gas than others. Whether you even realise it or not, the typical person passes gas 14 to 23 times a day.
Ah, another reason I'm above average as a human. That's about once an hour it works out.
That is exactly it.
If you fart more than once an hour, like considerably more than once an hour, then you are superhuman.
You are surpassing the odds.
There you go.
Okay, so let's talk about why. We know what a fart is now.
Yeah.
Let's talk a bit about why Shrek was absolutely right. And this is a extremely disgusting episode.
I am ready. Give me those farts.
Okay, so there are a few things that happen when you hold in a fart. Firstly, forcibly holding your fart may increase the chances of wasteful gas getting reabsorbed by the body rather than being released. These gases, when absorbed, pose the risk of gastrointestinal diseases.
Gastrointestinal diseases?
At its most extreme, refusing to fart can cause diverticula, pouches in the wall of the colon to form. These pockets can become infected, leading to a condition called diverticulitis.
So, like, pouches of infected fart bubbles on the
God,
inner wall. Oh
so
my goodness.
Bad. I know.
Imagine calling up work and be like, I'm sorry, I can't come to the factory today. I've got diverticulitis.
It's like diverting farts causes
literally
pouches in your colon to form. These pouches become infected from your farts. Horrific.
That is bad.
Some researchers have drawn a cause and effect conclusion between holding in farts and developing this diverticulitis. Without a release of the gas that builds up in the body, flatulent folks can experience bloating, pain, indigestion and heartburn. Symptoms can become particularly acute in pressurised airplane cabins, for example.
Do you want to hear a funny story about an experience of extreme flatulence bloating that I had?
Well, I think I'm going to find out whether I want to or not, to be honest.
When I was 15, I fell off a bike when I was mountain biking in Slovakia and I broke my spine. And what happens when you go through basically any kind of really acute bodily trauma is that a lot of your muscles seize up and most of all your sphincters. So the sphincters in your stomach and the sphincters in your rectum just completely contract and seize up and can stay like that for days, right?
Oh, God.
So I was taken down the mountain on a stretcher and brought to the local hospital and x-rayed and MRI'd and given a load of morphine and everything like that. But the sphincters didn't release for about 4 or 5 days. And I actually remember at the time looking and having like this huge bulbous belly and like any way that I moved, I was in loads of pain. I was like, what the hell is going on? What the hell is going on? What the hell is going on? And they were like, that's trapped gas. So one day in a morphine haze, I get woken up by a lovely Slovak doctor who put a little bit of piping in my bum.
Oh my God!
And it was incredible. I could actually see myself deflate. So there you go, listener. You just got to know Marcus O'Leara a little bit better. And Taz, darling girlfriend, I'm sorry that you now know this about me.
Absolutely yeah. Horrific.
Yeah, so also, you mentioned pressurised airplane cabins. Is that what happens to your water bottle?
Yeah, so at cruising altitude, your intestines are experiencing a significant increase in volume caused by a decrease in air pressure. That is the exact same reason why the contents of your bottle in your luggage may seem to explode when you open it after you land. To keep your intestines from undue expansion, the best medicine is to fart at will.
So, diverticulitis, probably the most horrific affliction I've ever heard of. Is it common at all?
An estimated 30 million Americans may be affected by diverticulitis, and it's particularly onerous for older people. 40% of people age 65 and older, and 60% of people age 80 and older have experienced the condition.
You're definitely making a good case for farting. I mean, like, is there any other reason? Not that you really need another reason after hearing about diverticulitis, which is infected fart pouches in your colon from holding farts. That's terrible. Like, do we have another reason to just let the gas flow?
I actually think that this reason is more horrifying. So according to Newsweek, the buildup of gas will be absorbed, if you don't let it out, through your gut and recirculated until it's expelled from your lungs via your breath.
What? Fart breath?
If you don't allow the gas to release, it crosses the bowel wall into the blood vessels, and as the blood travels back to the lungs to drop off carbon dioxide and get some more oxygen, it drops off those gases that is collected from your colon and you breathe them out.
Oh, that is honestly disgusting and terrifying. Not that I ever really held in farts anyway, but no, listener, never hold in a fart again. Imagine, okay, not even the smell of a fart burp. Imagine the taste.
No,
not holding in any more farts.
Good for your health, not for mine.
Okay, Taz. Right, yeah, because your farts are much better. Do we have any fart facts to end the episode?
Fart facts time! The average speed of...
Fart fact time. The cold fart facts, okay? Right, go for it.
The average speed of a fart leaving the anus and entering the world is about 10 feet per second, or about 9.5 kilometres an hour.
Wow. That is... That's good. It's all right. I should incorporate some farts into my strenuous marathon training schedule. Do we have another?
Your own farts will never smell as bad to you as someone else's. It is scientifically proven that one becomes habituated to the stinks and odours one's own body generates.
I think, do you know what, like, find me somebody who secretly doesn't like the smell of their own farts a little bit.
I know, yeah. Like you're
could
impressed.
Beyonce could be out there and you bet that she's like, Hova, Jay, come here.
Beyonce, if you're listening, I apologise.
Or who else? Who?
The Queen.
The Queen definitely is like, one, there's a fart.
Okay, one more fact. One can make a living of up to $50,000 a year in China as a professional fart smeller by diagnosing digestive illnesses merely through the scent of a patient's flatulence. Fart smellers are smart fellers. We're not too sure.
In the show with Tazimarcus, 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 in the show with Tazimarcus.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, farty friends, and oh God, like that's that.
Do not hold in thine farts.
Yeah, this is a public service announcement from In the Show with Tazimarcus. Don't hold in your farts. Also, if you do need to fart in the shower, then maybe hold it in for like a minute, because farting in the shower is horrible. It gets all caught up in the steam. Next thing you know, you're in a cubicle of doom.
Okay, I think we have to put another embargo on poo and fart questions.
Okay, we do need to put a little bit of a ban on the poo and fart questions for maybe 10 episodes.
10 episodes. Guys, if you have a question that you would like us to answer on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, then please do send it in. We're always open to questions. No question is too big, too little, or too silly. If there's any questions you have, send them in and we will research them and do our best to debunk them.
You can get us on email at
intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com.
Or if you want to send us feedback, notes, love letters, or indeed a question on social media, you can get us on Facebook. Just search for In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. Or if you're on Instagram or Twitter, look up at In the Shower Pod.
Next week's question, Marcus.
Next week's question comes from Daniel Taylor, one of our most avid question senders. Be more like Daniel if you're listening.
And it's a very sweet one.
why do we crave sugar so much?
That episode is going to be out next Monday in time for your shower. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
In the shower with Des and Marcus. 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 In the shower with Des and Marcus.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Thank you.
off your shoulders, not just 'cause you're fly. Do you have something? Look me in the eye. Feeling off balance, family on my mind. No, I don't want them to die, 'cause it's wide open, wide.
You're listening to Radio CKUT 90.3 FM Montreal, or online at ckut.ca.
Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The World Health Organization is warning countries against dropping public health measures like social distancing and masking as the highly infectious Delta coronavirus variant continues to spread worldwide. This is Mike Ryan, the WHO's Emergencies Director.
I think overall we've made a very premature rush back to full normality. And I think we're going to pay a price for that because we're not there with vaccination. The variants are really there, and we haven't protected enough people.
In Indonesia, dozens of patients died Saturday when a public hospital on the island of Java ran out of oxygen. Indonesia's ordered a partial lockdown amidst a massive rise in new cases, mostly driven by the Delta variant. Russia's reporting record deaths from COVID-19 cases increasingly caused by the Delta variant. Fewer than 13% of Russians are fully vaccinated, even though Russia's highly effective Sputnik V vaccine is widely available. Meanwhile, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson's planning to end nearly all remaining coronavirus restrictions on July 19th. COVID-19 cases have soared in recent weeks, even though more than half the UK population is fully vaccinated.